see Wanda. She'll be glad to fix you up. Or see me after the service, and we'll take care of getting them distributed. We had a couple of requests for these communion cups. So we have them in now. They're all blessed and ready to go. If you need some, see me after the service. We'll fix you right up, and we'll be all set with them. And if you want to put an honor or a memory notice in the bulletin, let Wanda know. She'll fix it up, and it'll be in there for the next 2 weeks. Anybody have any other announcements? What's that? That's what I said. The pecans are in. See Wanda, and she'll fix you up. Or see me after the service. I can take care of helping distribute them. Okay.
Good morning. Our first call to worship is 2:30, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Would you please stand?
Thank you.
this time, we'll light the Advent candles for this week, the third week of Advent.
I light this candle as a symbol of Christ our joy. May the joyful promise of your presence, O God, make us rejoice in our hope of salvation.
I'll give you a Christmas gift and let you sit while you sing. We're going to do hymn 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Children of God, our world is full of the fruit of humanity's greed, apathy, and neglect for the love of God, neighbors, self, and all creation. Our world is also full of the fruit of God's love that wells up all around us, sustaining us, saving us, reviving us, to live as the people of God.
What then should we do?
God encircles us on every side. Love, divine present with us in creation, in community, and in the anticipated arrival of the infant Emmanuel. What then, children of God, should you do?
Turning away from sin and toward a life of
for joys and concerns. We always seem to do concerns, and we always have them. You know, we pray for our church. We pray for the leaders of our nations. We pray for any missing children. We pray for anybody who's suffering as a result of a natural calamity, a casualty, or something that we ourselves caused. But today, let us talk about some joys. Let us talk about some blessings. I'm going to ask that we pray in the coming week for this. We have many blessings. The Lord has given us this world that we live in. We've got air. We've got water. We've got trees, plants, and animals that feed us. That's on a general basis. And each one of us, no matter what their circumstances in this world, we have blessings also. We have houses. We have families. We have jobs. We have more blessings than we could ever count if we started now until the end of our lives, no matter how young or how old we are now. So let us take some time this next week and think about all our blessings. And I'm glad that this week we're going to talk about some joys instead of just concerns. Amen.
Okay, now I'm going to make you stand up, okay? Our hymn is We Three Kings. It's on 254.
God of Advent joy, we bring our offerings with hearts open to your transformative call. In this season of anticipation, may our gift help mend what is broken and share the promise of redemption. Empower us to live fully present, giving generously and acting justly. Let those offerings be seeds of hope and joy that will draw us closer to your kingdom. Bless our giving that it may reflect your love and bring light into this world of ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" He answered, "Whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more than you are authorized to collect." And soldiers asked, "What about us? What should we do?" He answered, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with a fire that cannot be put out." With many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. And when a preacher stands up here and delivers his message on Sunday morning, it's generally considered to be a time to teach, to inform, or to interpret a subject, most usually something from the Bible. Occasionally, though, a chance presents itself to address a topic that is not straight out of the Bible. And today I'm going to start my message with that note. Let's start by talking about what this Sunday is. It's not a very, I would say, well-known or publicized day, but it is, besides being the third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. This Sunday holds a special place in many congregations, and their gatherings are full of music, joy, and light. Some choirs may sing a cantata, may put on a special presentation, or maybe the children will perform a play. But in all cases, the joy of this day will ring out, for this is a day of joy. Unfortunately, we can't do any of those at Rockwood. However, we can still let our joy ring out as we leave this sanctuary and return to our places in the outside world. You may ask, how specifically can we do this? Well, the answer is really pretty simple: by embracing the joyous traditions being held in our community by other churches on this Sunday. Churches who can do these celebrations, do these special programs, and present these different and special activities. Now, there are many activities going on in our community that we can attend in a place of performing our own. Now, I got a couple of examples. Unfortunately, I'm from Kingston Way, and I don't get as familiar with what's happening in Rockwood, but it's got to be similar. I know, for example, the Kingston United Methodist Church today is having their children's pageant at 6 p.m., and all are invited. Now, Bethel Presbyterian, they're having a handbell concert at 2 p.m. These are a couple of ways, and there's many, many more in the community, particularly on this day, that if you wish to share in the joy, you can go and attend. Now, there's another reason to bring up Gaudete Sunday related to my opening words. I bring it up because it answers a question that's been asked by a few people over the past couple of weeks, myself included. And that question is, why is there a pink candle in the Advent wreath, and when does it get lit? Now, most of us understood that it was to be lit today on this third Sunday of Advent, but none of us discussing the question actually knew or remembered why. So I did a bit of research, and I discovered that the answer is the pink candle represents Gaudete Sunday and the celebration of joy that goes with it. And it's on this day, the third Sunday of Advent, that it gets lit. This question has again reminded me that you're never too old to learn something, because I did. And even at my age, I still got a lot to learn, which is a good thing. Now, this leads to another question. If today is a day to celebrate joy, then why does our scripture reading start with, "You brood of vipers," or snakes? Why are we still hearing about John the Baptist? Something is seriously out of sync here. The only response that's appropriate to these questions is, well, yes, it appears that something is seriously out of sync. Something has gone awry. Something has gone wrong. But fear not, there is hope. Something has gone wrong, but a remedy does exist. Something has gone wrong, but you and we and all of us are not far from the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is where the joy resides, not in the denial of the brokenness, but that brokenness is not the last word. It is not the defining word. Joy resides in the promise of redemption and the resulting promise of eternal life forever in the heavenly kingdom. After John tears into his listeners, their response is surprising. Instead of pushing back or pouting or writing him off as out of touch with reality, they ask their own important question: what then should we do? How do we make sure we get on the right side of history? Is that too big a question? Well, it is and it isn't. John's answer to their plea seems to be somewhat mundane, maybe too simple. Maybe we take it a lot more seriously if he had said, make the world a better place, or share the gospel, or work for justice, or whatever. Maybe the problem is we have made things way too difficult, or at the least, too vague. We want to give space for people to respond in their own creative and dynamic ways, which is a good and great thing. But sometimes people need something that they can start with, some small first step, something doable yet challenging at the same time. Give away a cloak, says John. Treat your clients fairly. Don't use your power to your own advantage. Don't lie. Don't grumble. Simple, and yet these are world-changing things. Well, really? World-changing? Well, yes. Because there is something underneath all these simple instructions about how we prepare for the coming Messiah. There's an invitation at the root of the call to beware. And that invitation is present. John is telling his hearers, shaken by the rhetoric of the wild man from the desert, to be fully present. He is telling those who are doing okay to pay attention to and help those who are not. He's telling those who are collecting the taxes to see those from whom they collect as people with stories and lives and relationships, and not simply sheep to be fleeced. He is telling the soldiers, the wielders of physical power, to acknowledge that those weaker and more vulnerable have a place in this world also. He is asking those with power to see others as people to be helped and not as victims, to treat others with respect, compassion, and dignity. To be honest, that's a radical reorientation of the world, both at that time, his time, and now in our time. But it had to be a small start. An individual start that leads to a corporate or relational start. It is a fact that most movements start small. It's like a flicker of smoke, then a small flame with some attention, something or something that fans the flames, that causes it to burst into life, growing larger and larger as long as it is fed. That's what Isaiah's song is all about in our script for this week. There is this design move from the individual to the corporate, from the one who with joy withdraws water from the wells of salvation to telling the whole world, inviting the whole world to join in praise for the one who comes. Joy is contagious. Joy is meant to be shared. To fully experience joy, there needs to be a relationship, a community, a world that can be called to share in the glory of joy. It is a call to be present. It is a call to be part of a movement and to nurture that movement, to feed it, to grow it and spread it. And then when you realize that you're part of the movement, you can experience the satisfaction and yes, the joy of it. When you realize that you're a part of the movement, that you are fanning the flames of it and making it grow. Now that's a simple part. The harder part is making it grow, is continuing it. How many times do you know of people who will start something and be all gung-ho, and then after a while, you get less gung-ho and less excited about it, and before you know it, it withers away and dies. This is a challenge. It's one thing to start a movement. It's another thing to continue it, to make it grow, to make it spread. Each one of us can do this. We can spread the word of God, and we can experience the joy of doing so. But it's not something we can do for a couple of weeks, say around Christmas, Advent, or Easter, and then let it die and drop off until the next major big holiday of the Christian church. Advent is not a secret that we should or that we can keep to ourselves. It's an announcement that we, together, live in a way that issues an invitation, a call to a new way of living in this world, a new way of being. And it begins with being present to and with one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
please stand as we sing There's a Song in the Air?
Advent invites each of us into a new way of living in a world to which the kingdom of God has come, and yet it is still coming. Go now, blessed with the gift of togetherness, for it is only in being truly present with God and with one another that we will live as followers of the coming Messiah. Go in peace. Amen.
Have a great week.